Multipliers, welcome back to another episode of the Money Multiplier Podcast, where we ask ourselves, do our dollars make sense? My name's Hannah Kessler, and I'm here every single week with a new episode. And today's podcast topic, I'm really excited to talk about it, just because I was kind of thinking to myself a little bit earlier, right before I was going to record, you know, before I even got into this whole business of being an IBC practitioner and teaching folks about the power of the infinite banking concept, actually, I was going to school for two things. The first one I was going to school was to be a CPA, or like a tax professional, you know, because I love numbers, I love math, I love being a teacher. But then, you know, I was kind of going through college and I actually dropped out of the community college that I was going to. And I wanted to pursue a fashion design career. And Dad and I even remember, because he was teaching infinite banking back at the time, and we were actually out in Savannah, Georgia, and we were touring a school called the SCAD, Savannah College of Art and Design. And I was really, really wanting to go there, but really getting older and hearing Dad talk more and more, I was kind of thinking to myself, well, hey, I kind of feel like I'm working backwards right now. Okay, I'm going to go to school. I'm going to rack up, let's just call it in minimum side, let's just call it like $50,000 in student loan debt. And then I'm going to leave college and then I'm going to go find myself maybe like a $36,000 a year job. I mean, I'm kind of working backwards. That doesn't make sense from a financial standpoint to go do all of this time and resources to go to school, get my fashion design criteria and that certificate, and then go out and find myself just a very low income paying job. So I was like, you know what? There's got to be a better way to this. All right, what I'm going to do first is I'm going to build up my resources, and then I'll treat the fashion design more like as a hobby. And so I'll kind of work it the way that I'll have my own resources so I don't have to stress paying my bills, putting a roof over my head, putting food on the table for myself. So that's really what I started to do instead, as I started to go out and pivot into these other areas of life to really build up my resources so that I can have the freedom of financial freedom, time freedom to do these things that I feel really passionate about. So coming up here in my lifetime, you know, I would love to own my own boutique. The boutique, actually, I was thinking about calling it Aphrodite, because that's my favorite Greek goddess, okay? I'm very big into like Greek mythology. Like ever since sixth grade, Miss Wagner's class, we learned about Greek mythology. Oh my gosh, I've been so in tune with it. I really want to visit Greece. Actually, my grandpa always talks about it because he's a very big traveler, and he always talks about going to Spain and running with the bulls. So I want to go visit Greece someday just to explore like the mythology and all the ruins over there. Actually, shout out to my older brother. He just took his wife and my niece and nephew overseas to go visit Greece. They went to Athens, so I thought that was pretty cool. I was like, Sean, well, okay, where's my invite? Hello. So no, but they had a really great time. So, you know, I want to call the boutique Aphrodite, and then I want my label to be called Hannah Nicole, because that's my middle name, Nicole. So I thought that was kind of a cute and little classy little name, Hannah Nicole. And I think, you know, what I would do, it'd be like a more like boho chic type of style. I mean, that's just who I am. You know, I'm kind of like a little hippie at heart. And so I just love the classic whites and greens and browns and blacks and just kind of like that type of tone of color palette there. Actually, that's what I'm doing in my condo right now. I have my interior design lady over kind of helping me set it all up. But I would love to go and start my own boutique someday. And I really have a passion for like craft beer. I just think the art of brewing your own beer and all those different crafts. I mean, my favorite is honestly sours. I love sour beers. But I would love to own like my own brewery barcade one day, because that's what I like to do when I'm not talking infinite banking or teaching this stuff. I like to go out and go sip on a beer and go play some arcade games or pinball machine games. So in my lifetime, I would love to acquire that stuff of owning my own barcade and owning my own boutique, and just to say that I've done it. I mean, go back to my last, my past episodes where I talked with Larry Steinhaus. I mean, Larry literally opened up an ice cream shop, and people ask him, well, Larry, you're very successful in your business, and you're a money mentor, and you're a real estate professional and investor. I mean, why open up an ice cream shop? And Larry says, well, because why not? I've always wanted to own an ice cream shop. I don't want to be sitting in my rocking chair out on the front porch thinking, oh crap, I've always wanted an ice cream shop since I was a young boy and I never opened it up for myself. So that's why he's got his ice cream shop up there in Langhorne, Pennsylvania. I mean, does it do a lot of business? Not really, because it's up there in the cold in the winter times. Not many people are buying ice cream in the cold times. But I mean, he just has it because he loves doing it. That's just what he was passionate about as a young boy. So I kind of want to follow in those same footsteps as opening up something that really brings me passion and a fire that drives me. I mean, I'm not saying that this doesn't bring a passion and fire, because it really, really does. I love doing this. But just in my own personal life, I would love to say that I've been an owner of a boutique or a barcade where people can come and enjoy themselves or feel good about themselves and buy clothing. So you got me thinking, okay, so these are small businesses, right? I mean, how are people going out there and funding for these small businesses, whether it's the rent of the building or maybe they want to purchase the building? How are they buying their inventory? You know, there's so many things that money is playing hand in hand with in our life, and money is a resource and a tool that we really gotta master, because it gives us this freedom to do whatever we please with our life. It gives us time freedom, financial freedom, and really building a legacy and an empire for ourselves and our family. So I kind of want to talk a little bit today, because I got some small businesses, whether it's people in the construction business, dad when he was a chiropractor owning his chiropractic clinics. There's another one I was just thinking about. It's a gentleman who owns, he's an appliance guy. He owns an appliance store. Well, how is he buying all of those inventory and appliances to put into his store and his warehouse? He's got to finance for those things. So let's kind of walk through a few examples of how folks can use the infinite banking concept in their own banking system to set themselves up so that they can buy these things within their life, and so they don't need to rely on other people or commercial banks to help them and support them in that business that they want to go do. So here's what we got to do first. You know, what we first got to do is we have to store our money somewhere. Money has to flow and get deposited somewhere. And right now, how we've been taught is that we go and we place our dollars down at the local bank, because that's just where they keep the money. So what I want you to do is I want you to pivot that, and I want you to start depositing your wealth inside of your bank, i.e. the whole life policy. And if this whole life policy is designed properly for the infinite banking concept, you will have cash value made available to you immediately. And my definition of immediately is within 30 days. So what I want you to do is I want you to start flowing the dollars through the policy first. Make that deposit into the policy so that now you have this immediate cash value bucket. Now, just a little side note here. you get to decide how much you want to put inside of your policy. You get to decide the monetary amount, and you also get to decide how frequently you want to deposit the money in, whether that's monthly, quarterly, twice a year, or annual premiums. And you can always change the mode of premium. Let's say right now, just because of cash flow purposes, it's better for you to do monthly. But then next year, let's say it was a great year or an investment got paid out, I want to do annual premiums this year. I mean, you can always bounce back and forth between the different modes of premium that we have available to us. So you got to start the system. You got to make that deposit into your bank. And that's the premiums that are capitalizing your bank. So when those premiums go in, now we have this cash value bucket. Now, just a little side note, like another tidbit I'm just thinking of, because I just want to tell the community, you know, a question I'll sometimes get is, well, Hannah, you know, maybe I'm commission-based, or it's sales, right? I'm going to have some good months, I'm going to have some down months. Well, what if maybe one day I can't make this policy premium? What happens? Well, premiums can always be decreased. You can always, always decrease the premiums inside of your policy. And depending on how that policy is designed, you can decrease those premiums anywhere from 60 to 90%, just depending on how the policy is designed. I mean, heck, you could even use the cash value inside of your policy to start paying those premiums if you really need that financial help and stability for right now. So there's options. We got options when we're talking about the policy and it's designed for high cash value banking. Now, I'll put a stick in the sand because I'll talk about the opposite way here in a little bit. Hannah, can I ever increase my premiums? We'll get back to that question. So let's say that this individual, they are going to place a premium deposit into their policy. And here's an example. Let's just use Dad for right now. Dad was a chiropractor. So what did he have? He had his overhead of the employees at the office. He had the rent of the building. He had to finance for the therapy equipment, the adjustment tables, the headrest paper, the toilet paper in the bathroom, the paper towels in the bathroom, the cleaning supplies, the computers in the office, logging in. I still even remember logging into Silk One and noting everybody's notes in there for their visit for that day, because that was my first job ever, as I was a CA at one of Dad's chiropractic clinics when I was 14 years old. Matter of fact, actually I got fired from that job. Y'all, if you have children and you're not firing them, there's something else going on. Unless they're really, really good, I'll tell you right now, all of my siblings that have worked for my parents, they have gotten fired before in the past, okay? But that's a story for another time. We can be sitting around a bonfire or something, having a good beer, and we could be talking about those stories later on. So not for today's episode. But you know, Dad had these expenses in his office and he needed to finance for these expenses. So I don't know. I didn't really ask Dad. I don't really know like what an adjustment table costs, but let's just say that it's going to cost us $20,000 to buy this adjustment table. Well, the reason that he uses his policy to go and buy it is because when he leverages the money out of his policy, he's never losing out on the future earning rights that money is buying him simply because he filtered it through the system. Because when you take out a policy loan, we're taking out loans, we're not withdrawing the money. When you take out a policy loan, you are putting your policy in that death benefit up for collateral, and we're taking a loan from the general funds of the insurance company. So all of that $20,000 that Dad took out to buy the adjustment table, it is still sitting in the policy, growing and compounding as if it was never even touched. So in the real world, he's using the insurance company's money, and he's taking that $20,000 and he's going down to the chiropractic supply store, we'll just call it, and he's buying that adjustment table. So now they have the money. He's got the adjustment table. And so now all he's going to do is he's just going to pay himself back just as if he were to go borrow the money from any other commercial or conventional bank. Pay himself back and charge himself with interest. And he's playing that honest banker with himself in his lifetime, replenishing the cash values back inside of the policy. Now, my listeners, y'all know this. Do loans have to get paid back? No. Let alone do we have to charge ourselves with interest? No. But I want you to play honest banker with yourself. Do not steal from your banking business. But this is the freedom of you being in control. Because if we were in debt to somebody else or the banks, doesn't matter what's going on, we got to make sure we're making that monthly payment back to the banker for that adjustment table that we just went and purchased. So play honest banker, and that's all Dad did. And how he really did it, let me tell you. Go to bankrate.com, and they have loan calculators out there. All right, this adjustment table cost me $20,000. The Bank of Brent, I'm going to charge myself 10% interest, because the more aggressive I am on the interest, it's just going to be more money back inside of my pockets anyways. And I want to pay this back in 2 years or 24 months. So loan calculator, what does that monthly payment have to be back to my policy? And the loan calculator will tell us exactly what it has to be. That's all we're doing. So now each and every month, he's just paying himself back with that active income that he's bringing in from the revenue of treating the patients in the office. He's taking that money and he's paying himself back inside of the policy, because that adjustment table he just purchased, it's not going to last forever and ever. It's going to have some wear and tear. Maybe somebody's got a sharp little button on their jeans and they rip the leather on it. I don't know. So something's going to happen that he's going to need to go out and buy more adjustment tables. Maybe he gets bigger. He starts opening up more offices and he needs more adjustment tables to put into those other clinics. So there's things that we're going to have to always buy in our business life, and we're going to have to finance for those things. So instead of me just going out and paying cash for it and physically withdrawing the money out, because the money was sitting inside of my pocket, it was earning me interest, and now I've just physically withdrawn it out to go and give it to the chiropractic supply store company people. Now the money is gone. That $20,000 is never going to earn me future interest. So that's why I want you to start filtering the money through the policy first, because number one, you're never losing out on the opportunity cost of the money. And number two, you are the one that is in control of that purchase. So you pay yourself back when you can, how you can, and just be disciplined and play honest banker with yourself. So, I mean, that's just one example of using it for the adjustment table. Let's say I actually have a gentleman right now. He's in the construction business, and there will go a few months, right? So let's say that he signed off on a big contract, and let's call that contract $500,000. So he signs off on the $500,000. They hand over the money, or maybe they do it in installments. They pay a third now, a third in the middle of it, and a third at the end of the project. So he is going to have to warehouse this money somewhere, and he's going to have to use this money to pay his other contractors, buy the equipment, the lumber, the tools, and the supplies that he needs to really build this stuff. So how is he going to go out and buy those things for his construction business? Welp, he's just going to leverage the policy, take out the cash value loan to go then up and buy the supplies and pay his employees and contractors that he's hired for this job. And so sometimes maybe he just needs to float some money for some time being, because there's no active income that's really coming in. He just gets paid in those lump sums. So what he'll do is he'll hold some of those funds back, so that then if he's got to go and pay the salaries of some of his employees or the contractors that he's hired, he can pull the cash from the policy to go then and pay for those expenses and overhead that he has for himself right now. And he's just using the policy to do so. So now what he's going to do is once that full contract gets paid out, he's going to put that money inside of the policy where it's going to be warehoused, safe and protected at. And then he's just going to rinse and repeat the cycle. Let's say now that he's signed off on a $250,000 contract. Okay, he's going to take that money, place that deposit into the policy, and then from the policy, he's going to do the same exact thing. Leverage the cash value, go buy the supplies, go pay the overhead of his business, and then he's going to use the cash value to float him by until that next contract gets paid out again. So, y'all, I'm telling you right now, this stuff is so stupid simple, but we love to overcomplicate it. So maybe some of y'all are asking me the question, well, Hannah, you know, how is he designing this policy? How is he really going in there and establishing what is a good premium deposit to start with? So if you kind of go back to one of my last episodes where I talk about the customization of a whole life policy, I walk through different scenarios of, you know, a child or, you know, dump-ins over the course of a year or into subsequent years. You can always do that. Or maybe somebody is designing this thing for more of that higher cash value liquidity in the early years versus the later years. So this is what really when you need to hop on the phone with the money mentor, write down what your needs are, write down what the goals are so you can come prepped to that conversation and really have a good solidified strategy and solution of how you're going to be implementing and using this policy now. So that's just my feedback for trying to identify that good, comfortable premium. Hey, something else that I'll mention too, just going back to like basics of like budgeting 101. I mean, you should be, okay? Some people come to me and they think that infinite banking is going to solve all of their needs and it's going to be like that silver bullet. But I'm telling you right now, if you got more month left over at the end of the money, infinite banking ain't going to solve all of your needs. You need to learn how to budget and stick within your budget. So know what you are producing, know what is coming in as income every month or every year, and know what is going out the door as your expenses. And you should also be tracking what those expenses are, because there could be some hidden subscriptions or fees that you're paying that you don't know that you are. And this is where Rocket Money should honestly sponsor me. So hello, Rocket Money, if you're listening to me, I would love a sponsorship deal. But I use them all day and I check that app all the freaking time because I want to know where my money is going and I want to know what categories I'm spending the money in and how much I'm spending in those different categories. I mean, there was even one time that I was like, holy shit, Hannah, you spent so much money just going out and buying yourself restaurant food for the month. You got to tame it down just a little bit, girlfriend, because you're spending a lot of money on restaurant food. It's okay to cook at home and be content with your home cooking for a little bit, and then maybe once a week splurge out on the out of the house meal buying that you're doing for yourself. Let me tell you something else too, just a little side note, because I'm getting a little bit more comfortable on my podcast and sharing more about my own personal life. But let me tell you something else too. Being single is so much cheaper too. I don't have a man. I don't have any children. I mean, yeah, I got my kitty cats. They're like my children. But let me tell you, I am saving so much money from not being in a relationship as well. So for all of my people who are stuck in their old habits and old ways and thinking for a way to get out of that relationship that they know they maybe shouldn't be in, and maybe the time is over and it's expired, think about how much you're going to free up in your pocketbook just by doing so. All right, I'm just kidding. Don't come after me, y'all. But I'm just saying, in my own personal life, I've just noticed that my expenses have gone way down not being in a relationship as well. But okay, anyway, so back to our small businesses here. Hannah got a little off track. So welcome to my ADD lifestyle now. So So that's what this gentleman is doing when he's using his policy for his construction business that he runs. And these can be large numbers. These can be small numbers. Oh my gosh, somebody posted on the YouTube channel not too long ago saying, hey, I see how all of these examples are like $20,000 a year. Well, most people are struggling just to make their payments on their monthly expenses that they got. Do we really got to start with $20,000 a year in premium? No. No, you do not. All right. So you get to decide how much premium that you want to deposit into your policy. And I'll just start you off at your minimum. The minimum to get started with the policy is 10 times the age. 10 times the age on a monthly premium. So let's say that somebody is, I don't know, 50 years old. Somebody's 50 and they're going to start their policy. $500 on a monthly premium, that would be their minimum to design the policy properly for this banking concept. So start there at your minimum, or you go higher than that. You get to decide how much you want to deposit into the policy. And yes, there's ways that you can customize it. Maybe you got a large lump sum or inheritance money or dollars that you're looking to cash out your 401k with because you're sick and tired of taking that stupid ass advice from your financial advisor and your broke ass brother-in-law, and you're wanting to do something different with it. So yes, there's different ways of how you can customize the policy. So again, I stress the importance to talk with a mentor and walk through your exact scenario of what you're doing, because I promise they're going to be there to help you. So if you go to themoneymultiplier.com, you can get in contact with somebody. I mean, write us through the website. I mean, send me an email. We can even hop one-on-one on the phone call together too. I'm always here talking with you folks one-on-one. But really, it's important to know what is going on, because if you know what's going on, you'll know what to do. So that's my gentleman in the construction business. Now, oh yeah, this was my other one. You know, my appliance guy. So this appliance guy, you know, he spends probably $1 million a year just buying the inventory for his business. And so how he does it right now is he may go get cheap loans from banks, or maybe he'll just pay cash for it. But he's like, hey, you know, I got this crap load of money that's just sitting there in my bank account, and it just kind of sits there. I bring my revenue that comes in, but I'm really losing money to that hidden tax we call inflation. So how can I take this money, go and buy my inventory, and do better for myself and my business? So that's what he's doing. He is actually taking that $1 million a year that he spends on his inventory, and first he's just adding the one additional step of putting the money into the policy first, and then through the policy he's taking out that loan to then go and buy the washing machine, the refrigerator, whatever the appliance is that he needs to stock up on, and then he's putting it back into his storefront building. So what he's doing now is then once the inventory, once he sells it to his customers that come in through the door, he's just going to rinse and repeat the process. Okay, another $1 million gets funneled through the policy. I have my cash value here now. I'm going to take this out, and now I'm going to go and give it to the, what do you want to call it? The appliance supply people. Yeah, we're just gonna go with that theme for today's episode. So he's gonna go and buy the appliances from the appliance supply people, and then now he's gonna rinse and repeat that whole cycle. Okay, now I got the inventory. I'm gonna put it in my storefront. My customers are gonna come in, buy the inventory, and now I'm just gonna take that money and I'm gonna place it back inside of the policy. Now, something else that he's doing too. Do not be afraid to pay back the policy loans. What he does is he's got a bookkeeper that helps him with this stuff, and he will see what he is keeping at the end of the month. And so what he will do is those keeping and those saving dollars after his expenses and overhead has gotten paid out, he's going to take those dollars and he is now going to go and pay back some of his policy loans, because he doesn't trust the banks. He doesn't want to keep his money down at the local bank, and it's where the bankers are the ones making the profits off of his money. So he's just going to take those dollars, pay back those policy loans, and then now he's just simply replenishing the cash inside of the policy again. And that's how he actually even will save up for his next years of premium. He'll save up the cash inside of his policy so that if he really needed it, he will leverage and pull out the cash to help him pay for that next year's of premium if he truly really needed it. So there's so many options that are out there of how folks are implementing it. Doesn't matter if it's your appliance company, your storefront boutique, maybe it's your CPA business, chiropractic business, maybe you're a pilot or you're a charter pilot. You own all of these airplanes and you got private pilots that are contracted with you and you need to keep up to date on the maintenance of these aircrafts. You know, it doesn't matter what it is that you have in your business. It's how you are going out, warehousing the money, and then go financing for those purchases, the upkeep, the maintenance, whatever it is that you need to buy for that business. That is all that we're doing here. Ooh, let's talk about this. All right, I should maybe do like a deep dive episode on this. So put down below in the comment if you want me to go a little bit deeper into key man insurance or maybe buy sell agreements for the business. I really need to get like maybe my tax professional on an episode at some point and talk about like the tax strategies of like LLCs, S-corps, and how they're implementing with tax benefits using the policy. But so I'm not going to talk about that because I don't want to get myself in trouble. I'm not a CPA. I'm not a tax professional. So go talk with one. And when you are talking with one, actually, here's a question that I got yesterday. It's really not that complicated. Y'all, all you're doing is you are just funding premiums inside of a whole life insurance policy. So go ask your tax professional, hey, if my business funds my policies, or if I personally fund my policy, or maybe when I take the loan money out and I lend the money to my business, then my business pays me back with interest. What are some of those tax deductions or tax write-offs that I could be doing on the business side? Go talk to your professional about some of that stuff. So I won't be covering it on today's episode. But what I want to talk about just slightly is maybe some key man insurance. You know, like for instance, like dad in his chiropractic days, he would actually own policies on his associate docs in the business. I do have a past episode on this. I think I titled it How Millennial Business Owners Are Using Policies. So go check that episode out. But, you know, dad would actually put a policy, let's say it's on Dr. Jeremy in the office. And so Brent or Brent's company would own the policy. They would fund for the premiums, but then that insured person would be on the associate doc in the office. So now Brent is able to use that associate doc's body to put the policy on because, number one, God forbid if the associate doc, Dr. Jeremy here in this example, let's say that he were to pass away prematurely. Well, Brent's going to need some resources to fill his shoes so that he can get another doc in through the doors to treat the patients so that the business revenue doesn't start going down. So, you know, there's always that death benefit that's on the policy. Plus, Brent can leverage the cash values in the policy to keep doing what I've been mentioning here on this episode here today. You know, buying the equipment, buying the salaries or the overhead costs of the business so he can leverage the cash values to do so. I mean, Brent would even say, hey, I'm not going to start you a qualified plan like a 401k or IRA. What I would rather do instead is I want you to allow me to put a policy on you. And if you, doc, if you are with me for X amount of time or longer, I am going to guarantee you an income stream of X amount of monies a month or a year. And I'm going to be paying this out to you for X amount of time. So for example, let's say that I'm going to guarantee Dr. Dr. Jeremy $5,000 a month if he stays with me for 15 years or longer. So number one, it's creating loyalty between you and your employee. But it's also a way and a tool that you're not locking up your money. You still have access to that money and you're still able to use it today as well. So I just, that's why I'm not a huge fan of all of these qualified accounts that big businesses and corporations are wanting their people to start. I mean, you really want to know why they want you to start it? Is because the company gets a very big write-off and deduction in their business if their employees are putting money inside of these types of qualified plans. I mean, that's why actually my brother at NetJet, they're kind of pissed off at him because he's not going to start a 401k. Actually, instead, he started his second policy. So I said, kudos to you, Zach. I'm proud of you. But, you know, that's why we just don't like putting money inside of those qualified accounts, because you're locking up the money and there's just the limitations of what you can use the money for. I don't want to be limited to what I can use my hard-earned money for. And yeah, I do agree, I need to prep myself for the retirement and passive years of my life, but I don't want to lock up my good dollars today to then get paid back with weaker dollars in the future. Because remember, your money is always, always, always going to be worth more today than what it is in the future. And if you ever forget about that, think about how many candy bars you could buy 20 years ago for $1 and how many you can buy today for $1. Y'all, speaking of, I actually had to just go get gas in the van before I came here and sat down at this park. Freaking $5.59 a gallon of gas. Now, given I am up here in the mountains in California, I am on the West Coast, I am up in the mountains, but oh my God, $5 plus just in gas. Oh my gosh, I just even remember, because I wasn't around during this time. Again, I'm still a young girl out here just trying to figure out life. but you know, I just even remember seeing signs, like old pictures of the signs, and gas was like $1 or like 69 cents when back then in the olden days, you know? So I'm just like, holy crap, how in the hell did we get here? Oh, I know how we got here, but I'm not going to go down that whole big rabbit hole right now. Go read the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, and thank Nixon for taking us off the gold standard, and thank all of the inflation and the Federal Reserve System that we have now here today. So again, I mean, I'm just going to control what I can control. So again, back to my topic of what I was saying, hello ADD, but why we don't like tying our money up into those qualified accounts is because I want to use my money today, and I want to use it however I please. I will go buy a pack of chewing gum or a cup of coffee with my policy money if I really, really wanted to. So you have the freedom and the power to control the banking business within your life and do it within a vehicle that's not going to fluctuate with the market or Fed or government intervention or political environment that we see ourselves in. Because everything in life is about motion, okay? I'm up here talking. You can maybe hear the birds as they fly overhead of me. They're always in motion. So everything in life is about motion, and we do not make money by just having it sit and rot and compound and erode somewhere. You need to keep your lifestyle in motion. It's almost like, you know, I'm thinking about my grandparents now, because, like, you know, Nanny and Papa. So, like, Nanny, for instance, you know, she's kind of down with her Alzheimer's and dementia that she's got. And, you know, she could really be slowing down the process if she would get up and walk around, go be active, go do stuff in the garden, take walks, maybe go out to Bible study or go visit her friend at lunch. But she doesn't want to. She just wants to sit in her chair, her big comfy chair, all day long, watching the news or watching the game shows that are on TV. And I'm not bashing Nanny. Like, I love my family and I love her dearly. But Nanny, I mean, you can only tell somebody so many times, hey, this is probably not the best thing that you're doing for yourself, before you just totally give up and you just let them do whatever they want. I mean, it's very interesting. Like, these big, like the dementia and Alzheimer's that people can get, and how it really kind of reversed their mind, almost going back to how they were thinking as like a young child. Hey, I want to eat cookies for dinner, or I want ice cream for breakfast, and I don't want to eat my fruits and vegetables. I just want all this junk food, and I don't want to go outside and go play. I just want to sit inside and be on the video games or in front of the TV and the television. It's just crazy, you know? So we're never promised tomorrow. So you just keep motion, keep inactive, no matter what area of life that it's in. Keep yourself in motion, keep your mind moving, keep your body active, and keep learning and keep expanding. Because it's just going to go away. I mean, if we don't keep challenging it and exercising our muscles in our mind or our body, I mean, we're just going to lose it. And I don't want to see y'all lose it. I mean, just think back, like, when you're in school, right? I mean, do you remember how to do long division? Doing the little 3 and then the 27. Okay, what goes into 3 and doing the whole long division? Because I'll be honest, I don't. And I graduated in 2017 from high school. So anywho, just, you got to keep in motion and keep the money in motion. That's why I really don't like locking up my money inside of those types of vehicles, because it's not in motion. I can't put it to work and keep it in motion for myself. So I went off on that long tangent because I'm talking about how to use the policy for the business usage instead of just having your employees start those 401ks or qualified plans. Use the policy, really create a mutual agreement between you and your employee or that business partner, saying, hey, you know, maybe even business partners, hey, let's both of us own policies on one another. So that then in the event of a premature death, you know, I'll get paid out that death benefit, and then I can now go in and buy out your family from the business if they don't want to be in the business any longer. So there's just so many cool features and benefits that we're not taught with how powerful a whole life policy really can be, a contractual commitment and obligation that they just don't teach us about, because we just think it's all about the death benefit and when I'm graduated and no longer here. And no, we got to better educate ourselves. So Keyman Insurance is great. And actually, Keyman Insurance, it is a discriminatory product. I don't like to use that word, but you don't have to offer it to all of your employees. That's the cool thing about it. I mean, if you just want to offer it to a select few people in your organization, you don't have to offer it to everybody like you do a 401k or IRA. So I think that's a really cool benefit as well. You know, and then the buy-sell agreement. I won't go too deep into it. I kind of talked a little bit about it, where, you know, maybe two business partners will own policies on one another. So you can always do that. Own policies on one another. Use the cash values in the business. Maybe y'all are real estate investors. You need down payments for properties or money for the rehabs on the houses that you're doing, paying the contractors, doing the demolition, whatever it is. So use the cash values, leverage it, and then don't keep the money inside of that commercial bank. Don't be afraid to pay back your loans. Take the profits, place it back inside the policy, so that when an opportunity comes about again, you can use the cash to go and finance for that purchase. So just a few ways of how small businesses are owning the policies. Now back to my dreams, because this is my show and I get to talk about whatever in the hell I want to talk about. But just like in my own business, I'll say this, like in my IBC business, I really don't have too much overhead costs. I mean, yeah, I got my marketing team. I got my best girlfriend who helps run my social media. She does the editing on my podcast and different things like that, you know, and I'll pay for those expenses. You know, I actually just placed an order for merch. Hey, I got Do Your Dollars Make Sense merch. I don't think I've talked about that yet here on the pod. So holler at me if you want one. And if you're coming to our mastermind, we'll also have them posted up there too. But you know, how I funded for the merch. I placed it on a credit card, and then at the end of the month, I took out a loan from the policy and I paid off the credit card bill. So now what I'll do is with my active income that comes in, I'll take that and I'll pay back the policy loan. So it's just shifting and moving the money and just not having it be held down at the local bank. We bought stickers, you know, putting on the mastermind event, you know, that's costing a pretty penny. We got to pay for the venue, the food and beverage, hotel costs, airfare. We're using the policy to go and do that. But really, it's not too much overhead cost besides if I just want to pay sponsorship fees to get it on stage in front of people, merch for the business, some of my employees that I pay. But when I get into that world where maybe I don't want to be as involved in this business, I'm still going to be involved in it till the day I die. I mean, I love doing this stuff, but maybe I just don't want to be taking strategy calls from sunrise to sundown. You know, I'll use some of those dollars to go and buy the building that I want to hold my barcade. I know those the games are going to be pretty costly. I mean, what, like our pinball machines, like depending on what it is, if it's a collectible or not, I think some of them are going for like 40 grand. I mean, they're freaking expensive. And then, you know, maybe for my rent in my mall front shop, you know, or maybe I have a downtown shop. I haven't really figured out the location. Nashville really speaks to me. I was always thinking about Nashville or like maybe somewhere in Colorado, like Golden, Colorado. It's been really speaking to me too. But, you know, I'm going to need some of these monies to go and finance and buy these things when I'm ready to start bulking up the business and walking down and aspiring these other dreams that I have for myself. So I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to use my policy to go and buy those things and pay myself back, because I'm not afraid to pay myself back. It just goes back inside of my policy and it shows up as cash available again. Now, last comment I'm going to make before I let y'all go is that, you know, I mentioned on the forefront, okay, Hannah, well, you know, us as business owners, you know, we could have good months and we can have bad months. So yes, my premium can always be reduced if needed. So absolutely, premiums can always be reduced if needed. But what if things are going really, really great? All right. So my example of my appliance guy, hey, I'm doing $1 million in inventory right now. Business has been going great. I want to open up a second location. There's a B. I want to open up a second location. So I'm going to need another $1 million to put inventory in that second location. So can I just go into my policy and put in, instead of 1 million this year, I'm going to put in 2 million. Really? No, we can't do that. We can't just go into an existing policy and quote unquote increase the premium. So at that time, what I would tell him, just like how he's saying he is profiting at his one storefront location, now let's expand. You're going to start a second location, another storefront. So now all that you're going to do is you're going to start a second policy, another branch office of your bank, another $1 million and premium that's going to that second policy. You can do that. So we can't just go into existing policies and increase the premiums. This is when and why you would open up a second policy and think about it as nothing more than the branch office of your bank. That's all that you would do. And this is why folks have multiple policies. That's why sitting here at this recording today, I got 7 of my own policies. And it's just because I've been expanding and growing since 18 years old, practicing this concept in my life. I started my first policy, $400 a month. My second policy, I started another $400 a month. Because I started the first one because that's all I could afford at the time. I was saving up $100 a week, $400 a month. So I started that first policy, $400 a month, and then things were going great. my income was rising, that, hey, I want to do more than $400. I want to start doing $800 a month. So all I did is I opened up a second policy, another $400. So now I had a total of $800 monthly cash flow that's going towards that second policy. And that's what I do. I really dive into my financials every single month, and I like to see what's really going on so that I can keep expanding my banking system, because the whole idea is just get the money through the policy first, because the quicker you can get the money into the policy and then now have it in there on that compounding clock, uninterrupted compounding interest, the better and better it's going to be every single day, every single year as time goes on, because time is our most precious asset. We can never get back more of time. Time is always going to keep going and going and going. I mean, just think about it. If you have a kid, think about when they were 2 years old, and think right now when they're 14 years old. Didn't it just seem like yesterday they were only two and they were still sucking their thumbs? It's crazy how time flies and it passed by us. So I'm just taking advantage of the time and the compounding effect that's happening inside of these policies here. So it's a pleasure. Thanks for tuning in. And I'm here every single week. And if you got questions, don't hesitate to reach out to me. Hannah spelled the same ways forwards and backwards, Hannah@themoneymultiplier.com. And until next week, I'll catch you then. Bye, y'all.